to the beat.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined in on the same couch as Jeff.
Hey, we're in the House of Draft, as you can see back there. We've
the banner
got LaCroix and diet beverage of some kind, Diet Coke.
We're not sponsored, but if they want to get at us,
call us.
Let's go.
Or LaCroix, preferably. I'd rather have unlimited LaCroix.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. And before we get into what we watched this week, or what we just watched.
Literally
what
on
we
that
just
TV
watched.
That yep. You can't see.
We have to plug the music this month. And the music this month is brought to you by the New York pop-based artist, Madeline, with her song, I'm Only Here for the Beat. Jeff, what did you think of the music this
I did.
Month?
I actually made a point of listening to
I'm
the
so
audio
glad.
Podcast this
Madeline
week.
Is very thankful.
I'm glad. But yeah, quite good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was also there for the beat, but that wasn't all. I was there for the vocals.
I was,
and the entire experience.
She appreciates that. I appreciate you putting forth the effort to listen to the music
on occasion.
Jeff, what's the theme this month?
So this month our theme is dragons. Yep, so Mark called an audible and said either features dragons or has the word dragon in the title. And I got to say, we're 50-50. We have, three of our movies have dragon in the title. One of them didn't, but that one had a dragon in it.
So, we're 4-for-4.
Sure.
We bet 1,000 this month. This is great.
At this point, I've given up on the theme trying to hit it. You've worn me down with your hell or high waters.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think you've given up on the theme.
That's true. I refuse.
Anyways, what did we just watch?
So, we watched Nimona, a Netflix original, I believe. It's rated PG, came out in 2023. It runs for 1:41. It is directed by Nick Bruno and Troy Quain.
Mm-hmm.
This
is Oscar nominated.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. It was nominated for best animated feature.
Well, it also stars Chloe Grace Moretz, Riz Ahmed, Eugene Lee Yang, Beck Bennett from SNL fame, Louise Toussaint, and RuPaul. And I think that's
Francis Conroy is also a voice in this.
Francis Conroy. Thank you.
Yep. So
now
Jeff,
you made us watch this. Why'd you pick it?
I did. I saw it a couple months ago prior to this year's Oscars. I knew that it was getting a lot of Academy Award buzz, and I didn't know why. There was very little publicity for this film, especially considering it's a Netflix original. Made its debut on Netflix. It's got a lot of big name actors in it, as far as recognizable faces and names, like Chloe Grace Moretz. She's a very recognizable name. Riz Ahmed, here lately, recognizable name. Francis Conroy, it has been a mainstay name in film for a long time. And so I sat down to watch it because I wanted to see it before the Oscars. And then I genuinely fell in love with this movie.
Mm.
And
does your wife know?
We watched it together.
Okay.
It was like a three-way.
You win.
And then I did a 5-minute review on the YouTube for it, and I said on the review, I was like, I got to figure out how to get Jeff to watch this movie.
Now, did I pitch dragons?
You pitched dragons,
and then that was good enough. Okay,
It's because there's dragons in this movie.
Yes.
So I was like, that's it. There's a dragon in the movie. We're gonna watch it. So you had never seen it.
That's right. Now, I had checked out the, graphic novel from the library.
Oh,
and
did you?
Never read it.
Oh.
So
I
have nothing to add.
You half-assed the research for the pod.
I didn't even do that. Well,
you
this was before.
You zero-assed.
No, I didn't check it out for the pod. I had done it before.
Okay.
Because I've read several graphic novels, and I had a mild interest in it, and it had a a good reputation, but I just couldn't find, to be honest, and this is going to seem stupid, but the main reason I didn't read it is the font was too small and I didn't have glasses yet and I just couldn't do it. So maybe
that's a understandable reason.
I think
am I going to give myself a headache to read
something that I don't know it's good or not? So.
Right. And I'm not, you know, I understand. All right. You've got glasses now, as evidence on the YouTube by his face.
I have glasses. I can look at this screen that I remembered to bring.
Yep. So, Jeff?
Yeah?
What'd you think?
I would say for about 2/3, I was loving it.
Okay.
And not to say I was hating the other third, but it took a turn that I just kind of felt sweeped the fun out of the movie. And because the movie starts off and is really, really fun and slapstick and kind of just really enjoying the story it's telling and the characters it's presenting. It's just having a great time. And then the movie gets really heavy at the end. That part I wasn't as big on, because I just was like, I kind of liked it best when Nimona was invincible and was just having fun. And so when it started to get serious and the tone changed, I felt myself disconnect from the movie a bit, because I felt like it was sort of sudden. It didn't have a gradual lead into that. And I enjoyed so much of the fun-loving part for so long of the movie that when it did change, I kind of missed that. And that's where I kind of fell on it. I didn't fall in love with it, but I could have if it had balanced the tone a little better near the end to me.
I respect your opinion.
That's fair.
I disagree.
That's also fair.
So, like, and I'll explain kind of why I fell in love with it upon first viewing, is that Nimona is a chaotic being.
Mm-hmm.
And she's introduced as a chaotic being. She's introduced as kind of just like this unstoppable force. And when we're first introduced to her character and her interaction with Riz Ahmed's character, it's almost like night and day.
Yeah.
He is one way. She is completely opposite, and they kind of gel together. And that's a testament to the writing. That's a testament to how the movie's put together, in the form of the voice cast and just how it's portrayed on screen through the animation, which is fantastic in this movie.
Yes. The animation, specifically on Nimona, is so much fun. And then that's what really brings the character kind of to life. So we're used to Chloe Grace Moretz playing badass leads, right? Like, the Hit Girl specifically, she's not far off from this character. Other than that, this Nimona likes to have a little more fun, and I think that Hit Girl's a little more bloodthirsty, although Nimona is too. But her voice performance paired with the animation that breathes a ton of life into the character is kind of what makes it for me, at least from the character of Nimona. Your mic is off. He's back, folks.
I'm back. God.
You get to see it in real time.
This handheld stuff is not...
It's not for you?
I don't know.
I like it.
We'll see. You know, the animation style, I really loved this world, this medieval futuristic sci-fi world.
Big time.
Right? It's so unique.
I'm going to coin a phrase. I'm going to take a page out of Mark's book when you talk about bands. You know, we have cyberpunk and steampunk.
This
is medieval punk.
Medieval punk. I like it.
I think so.
No, it's such a unique world that it begs the viewer to be engaged with it.
It's like the world kept evolving, but their taste in style
and
architecture and clothing didn't, but everything else advanced.
Right.
Because they still have castles and armor and, you know, swords. Nobody has, they have crossbows. They don't have guns, but they're like futuristic crossbows and stuff.
And there's a futuristic sword. And, you know, it's, the world of this film is so unique and so just refreshing. It's because it's not something that I'd want had ever seen animation or live action. Like, it's hard. It would be real hard to do, I think, in live action. But animation, at least, I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
And so we're introduced to the world, and then we're introduced to the characters. And almost from the get-go, the story, it's just like that. You know, Riz Ahmed's character... hit me with his name again.
Ballister Boldheart.
Yeah, Ballister Boldheart. And I love the names in this movie.
So. Okay, now we got to talk about Golden Loin.
Yep.
Is that a better way of saying Big Dick?
Big Dick Energy,
Golden Loin? That's what it makes me think of. Maybe I have problems.
Well, I mean, his screen name on the computer was Loins of Gold.
When
he messaged for nachos in the movie?
Yeah, but don't you think since those two are lovers, Loins of Gold... is like him saying you got it where it counts, and then Golden Loin is saying he himself he has it where it counts.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if my last name.
What would your knight's name be if you Mark were a knight?
Sir Mark
Marconius.
Marconius. Golden Loin's hard to beat, bro.
But you can't be Golden Loin.
I can't pick Golden Loin, okay.
There's certain things you have to go through to be able to be called Golden Loin.
I don't know.
So Boldheart, Golden Loin, so it's adjective and then a noun. Sureblade.
Adjective and noun, okay. Yeah.
I dare you to say a verb.
Shiny.
Shiny.
Noun. Shiny car.
Okay. Wow. Shiny car.
Listen, my brain wasn't prepared for all of that thought.
Shiny car. Well, I'm not going to argue with that, Sir Shiny Car. I don't know. That just blew any chance of me thinking of something. Mine would be... gastro leg. Listen, this was a bad idea. Let's talk about the movie.
So the movie is in itself about acceptance and how people treat those who are different, identify differently than how society thinks.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting too, like at least that's the story around Nimona being different, being an outsider quite literally, and our main character being gay. They didn't marry those at all, like as to say, because at least in this world they don't ever get into it, but it doesn't seem like there's any prejudice against them.
Yeah.
Or that it's something that they have to struggle with in this world.
So well, I don't actually know if the larger public or audience knows that Golden Loin
they
and
don't
Boldheart are
really
thing.
Get into it, right. Do they? It almost feels like they might actually have to keep it a secret. But.
Right. I think this movie is all about acceptance. And it's like, you know... Nimona, you know, people want to call her a monster, and that really hurts her. And, you know, we get kind of a montage of backstory later on in the movie about her as a human child. I would say falling in love with.
I think it's just a friendship.
It could be, but
they were too young to be, least in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. But it just seems like...
Okay, I mean, even if it's as a friend.
Pre-puberty.
Right. Even if it's a friend.
Because the whole thing is she's not getting accepted by she changes into a bird and the bird's like, fuck this. And then she changes into a fish and the fish are like, hell to the nah.
Right.
And then she meets this little girl and they become friends and that she sees the shape shifting and the girl still accepts her. But then, so I think the larger commentary is even on an individual level, she's able to accept her. But then once she gets back into her community and sees that her community doesn't accept her, it kind of changes. Like, for something happens when the town gets set on fire, which is not Nimona's fault,
right,
where things change in this golden, whatever her name is, golden tits. No.
He just called a little girl golden
No,
tits.
I didn't. She's an adult in the home. We're going to edit that out. I have no say in it, but I can't remember. Her name is Golden something, isn't it?
It's Gillith? No.
Gloriath.
Gloriath. That's my night name.
Golden Tits. Okay. You're Golden Tits. That's fine. Anyway. It's a little derivative. I'm platinum balls.
Anyway. No, I think this movie, made in 2023, releases 2023, and gets nominated for Best Animated Film at the Oscars for a multitude of reasons. But I can't stop to think that it's part of it is because of the story behind this and how, you know, the LGBTQ community is such a prominent community now in our lives. You know, it's, but I mean, it's just because it's prominent doesn't mean it's accepted either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that this movie was made to speak to a very broad audience as far as those that identify as part of that community and those that don't and have this wall up about accepting those that may be different or identify as different. You know, there's several points in the film where Boldheart says to Nimona, hey, what are you?
And, I'm Nimona.
And she says, I'm Nimona. And he's like, no, but what are you? And she says, it's a small-minded question. And I just thought that was pretty profound because, like, just because he's never seen anything like her, it's automatically, hey, what, you know.
What?
Yeah. What is this? Not who are you?
So I guess if you want to draw that parallel, but I don't know, because the parallel with LG, oh, that's deep. That's too deep for my brain. I can't.
Well, see, but like, I
as opposed to who you are.
Right.
Who are you? Yeah.
Right. You're right. It's the question of how is this a thing? And then what is this? And I think that's the big picture of the film is that, you know, and she at the very end of the film, she turns into this kind of shadow Godzilla-esque monster.
Yeah.
Which is a dragon, that's where by the way.
Is it?
Godzilla's a dragon.
Godzilla's a dragon, but Godzilla is a kaiju and a dragon-shaped kaiju. But Mothra is not a dragon.
That's true.
And this is kind of more, I guess it's close enough. Again, I don't care, but she at one point turns very much into a dragon. Plus, there's twice. Dragon bites.
Twice, right. She's a dragon twice in the film.
I know, that's fine. I don't care. All right? This was a bad theme idea, and it's on me.
It's okay, though.
I accept it.
I forgive you. And, you know, throughout the film, Boldheart and Nimona are trying to clear his name because he's framed for killing the queen. And then a sub theme of this film is questioning the establishment,
Oh, yeah.
You know, the government.
Yeah.
And
they had an idea in their head from the beginning that Nimona was a monster years and years and years ago.
Right.
And it's, there's some elements of 1984 in this to me where the big signs are like...
That was before I was born, so I don't know.
No, not the year... Well, the show... I'm about to say the book, 1984, and there's a movie.
Yeah.
There's a couple movies, and then Audible just released an audio drama, which I listened to as well, that the whole monster, they kept prepping for monster attack. You got to watch out for monster attacks. We're protecting the kingdom. And it just kind of kept pushing that into people. And I think even Nimona uses the term brainwashed at one point. So it just, some of that element was still there about the establishment. Did we ever really get why, like, spoilers, why the director did what she did? Like, why did she kill the queen?
I think it was
it just because she didn't want a common person?
I think so. I think that, and that was, that ties it back to the first theme, is that accepting of the differences, right? Boldheart didn't come from some long lineage of knights. He was a commoner. He was a poor boy, and he rose up from nothing.
Just killed a man. Put a sword against his head.
pulled his sheath. Now he's dead.
Now he's dead.
Anyways, I think that the theme of the question of the establishment and then tying it back together with, you know, why did the director do what she did in framing Boldheart? I mean, she's trying to obviously...
Well, framing, I get.
Right. She's trying to...
Because she can't kill the queen herself, so she frames Boldheart, and then it kind of also maybe two birds with one stone. So does she take over as the queen? Who's the real ruler of this realm now?
Well, from the time that the queen dies until...
It's the director.
Is the director. So there's probably a lot of different motives.
They clearly have a nepotistic lineage thing where you can't be a knight unless you were born into it. So I can't imagine you get to be the ruler of a nation unless you have some sort of bloodline thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe... I don't know. I don't know.
These are the questions you have to ask.
I'm glad you're here to ask them.
I don't have the answers for them.
I don't either.
And we have nothing to contribute.
Well, I mean, we got Sir Golden Tits out of it, so.
No, I take that back. That did not happen, and there's no way to prove it happened.
How long is this movie?
Hour 41?
Hour 41. I will say that when Nimona is not on screen, the movie almost halts.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, thankfully, Nimona's in a good, really good chunk of this film.
For a movie called Nimona, you would hope so.
Right. And the writing in this film is very good. Just the dialogue, it's very witty, very fast-paced. There's a lot of banter in it.
I think you summed up what I was trying to say at the beginning, is like any time that Nimona's not in the movie, it's not as good. And that last third, even when she is in it, she's not being herself. Like that big dragon, if you will,
shadow
at the end of the movie. Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't call it a shadow.
No, it's a shadow dragon.
Shadow dragon at the end of the movie, that's not really her. Right. I mean, it is in the story, but it's not character we've gotten to know.
There's probably some allegory there, right?
Of what?
I mean, it's a dark...
You can't just say some allegory and then not fill in the blanks like I do.
It's a big, like, black hole of a monster, right? It's the shadow monster. It's like everything that has like weighed on Nimona in thousands of years, however long she's been in existence, for however long she's been cast out and thrown out and all this. I imagine that's all of that is her feelings, and so. When there's a point in the movie where she tells Boldheart, and the movie plays it back as a voiceover, but she tells him, something about, it's hard to be a certain way when everybody in the kingdom wants to drive a sword through your heart. And she goes, and it's even harder when at times you want to let them. It's a very profound thought, a very, very suicidal thought.
Yeah. And again, in this movie, I've been having a great time. She's running around cracking jokes, turning into animals, and one point a whale. And now we got to have existential crisis on our hands.
I don't know if it's, I mean, it is an existential crisis. I just, but I don't know if it's un, it's not un, what's the word? I mean, I don't know, but it's not like it came out of the blue. Right? I mean, it was set up throughout the entire film of like, hey, she's tired of being this person that isn't accepted by everybody she meets. Like everybody she goes to tells her or also, casts her out.
Yeah. So here's the other thing is I felt like the whole thing with Boldheart being able to be convinced as late in the movie as he is that Nimona might be the problem was unbelievable to me. Because of everything they had gone through, and he was there,
yeah,
right? He knew that the queen had admitted to setting him up and killing, not the queen, but the director had admitted to it, killing the queen, and Nimona helped him. He knew that wasn't Nimona setting him up, and yet the Golden Loin shows up. He's like, yeah, you've been set up, but he should know better, and it just
he should know better, but he's presented with
not
something
good
that's,
facts.
No, but it's been around in
he's presented with a scroll,
right?
Well, who knows how long that scroll's been around? Listen, oh, this has been here for thousands of years.
I've seen Game of Thrones, yeah, I know about the people that keep the scrolls.
Sure, that's fine. I don't because I didn't watch that, but
there's dragons in that too.
Okay, thanks. But you, the person who says this scroll explains everything is the person who killed the queen,
right?
We like
you just you don't think it was believable.
I don't think based on what Boldheart knew,
right,
that he would flip on her.
I don't view it as he flipped on her. I just viewed it that he kind of had doubts now. He had doubts.
He went to draw his sword on her, and that's what pissed her off.
Yes,
listen,
correct.
It I didn't like it.
Okay, that's fair.
It pissed me off.
Right, it's fair. I think, and he even says it, like in the movie, he goes, you told me to question everything.
Yeah, but not, okay,
mm-hmm.
There's a point where your brain falls out, right?
Sure, yep.
You know, like you can't.
We saw it happen with your Sir Golden Tits.
It did. My brain fell out. But you literally can't, like she's telling him specifically to question the establishment. Question what you've been essentially indoctrinated with.
Right.
Question those things.
Right.
Not question what you've seen with your own eyes. Like the whole thing. He knows that she's not this character who comes up with these grand schemes, right? They establish throughout the movie, what's your plan? Blah, blah, blah. Some stuff happens. We win.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how she describes her plans. And I found it a leap too far for me that he would turn on her. I think it would have been better had he just gone back and, like, you know, told Golden Loin, you're full of shit. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, because I was in the room when she admitted the director to being the bad guy.
Right.
I have the facts. You don't. You've given me something that the bad guy gave to you that you bought unequivocally.
No, I get it. In an hour 40-minute film, you know, there's got to be a little bit of shortcuts that are taken, I think. And that could be one of them. I get on board with that. I can get on board with a writing shortcut. That,
I mean, because
that
she
sets
needs,
up the end game.
Yeah, she needs to not be friends with him in order to turn into the big dragon at the end.
Yeah, shadow dragon and go to kill herself, right? And then, you know, at the end of the film, I don't know how he got up there, but
I have no idea.
He climbed real fast.
Like, because you see he's clearly not on the statue at the end.
But then,
and then he's there. And he's there. It's like climbing the Statue of Liberty and getting onto the torch.
Right.
In a matter of seconds.
But, I mean, he's got a robot arm, so.
He does, but, like, the only way I could see it happening is if Nimona built his own. Yeah, which is right out of Army of Darkness.
But as I mean,
groovy.
So I like that, and this is going jumping back to the beginning of the movie, but I like the fact that the film showed us and didn't tell us that Boldheart is this awesome dude. Like, he's just like this intelligent, you know, tinkerer person that, I mean, one, it does kind of tell us that he rose from nothing and became a knight, but it then showed us that he's really super smart. He built his own arm.
Right.
But at the end of the movie where he's on the sword and he, like, Nimona opens herself up to reveal her heart and...
That was so stupid.
Why?
Because she's it was stabbed on the nose. She's going to stab herself
in the heart.
And it's this weird thing. Like, that's the other, like, I think part of why I didn't like that part was that that character had no design to it. It was a big mess of smoking clouds. And
Shadow,
fine. But if you watch any, like, superhero movie from the mid-2000s, that's the same kind of gray blob of boss that's at the end of Wonder Woman or how, what was his name? Doomsday looked. It just like gray nothing. And this is like no design to it. And it really assisted in that disconnect for me, the design or lack thereof.
Okay. It's fair. Another fair point. But she goes to open herself up to stab herself in the heart with this statue of
golden tits.
Yeah, grown up golden tits. What's his face? Boldheart puts his robot hand on her heart.
This is the other thing, which I'm fine with that.
You're fine with
because
the robot
maybe
hand on
it have to be the robot hand because maybe if you put his real one in there,
yeah, he'd have another robot hand.
But when Golden Loin meets up with him in the bar, he reaches over and holds his robot hand.
Yeah,
which I felt was weird. To like, wouldn't
maybe
flesh to flesh be better? I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe that's him being accepting of
his
differences,
his deformity that he caused.
Yeah,
he cut that guy's arm off.
Real quick, too. Like, no, not even a question.
Yeah.
Question the establishment.
Lack of gore in this, too. He should have been spurting, you know?
I don't know. And then so at the end, what's her face? Nimona saves the kingdom. And I mean,
I hated this ending.
Well, I mean, I was fine with his because
she turns into
a phoenix.
A big phoenix, which actually had more design to it, and I was cool with. The whole faking out of the death I could have done without, I knew they were going to do this tease at the end of, oh, Nimona's back.
Bro, I'm on board with Nimona too, all right?
Yeah, but my whole thing is like, I would have been happier to skip that trope and she flies in there and we get to see the director get her due.
Sure.
But what we don't get is she gets blown up, the director's blown up,
right,
and she kills Nimona, and all you see is the little
ashes,
pink pieces, the pink ashes. And I didn't like that either. It felt a little contrived.
No, but like, you know, the whole backstory of the Phoenix is you rise from the ashes.
Okay, that's a very good point.
So, I mean, I think it all serves a purpose.
No, that is a good point. That's a good way to put it. I didn't think of that. Well done.
So, thank you. So, I mean, I don't know. I really, and this is second viewing of this film.
Yeah.
I really much enjoyed it. Maybe not as much as the first time, is because on first viewing, it's just very new. It's very fresh, very unique. So I knew the beats here. It's still, the music, the soundtrack in this is very good. Very pop,
yeah,
pop punk.
I liked that it had that modern music touch, especially with the world that you kind of forget. Like, there's moments where you forget that you're watching something that's in this medieval punk world,
right?
Where, and then eventually you'll see them with cell phones and your brain will be like, why does this knight have a cell phone? And then you remember, no, that makes sense because right. of this world they're in.
Right, right.
They have flying cars and big ass TVs and all kinds of cool shit.
It is, I mean, it's very cool, and it's very, the style is the same throughout. Nimona has a very pop punk style to her as a human girl. Just all in through and through, I really enjoyed it because of how fresh and unique this was. The beats of the story resonated with me. I wasn't thinking about the story, you know, kind of the tonal shift
right
upon the first viewing. I wasn't really thinking about it here until you said something. It's because I was caught up in like, hey, Nimona, you know, this is actually who she is. She's just not this chaos. You know, she's somebody that wants to be accepted, and the chaos is just a personality trait. Or maybe it's not. Maybe
she does talk a lot about killing people.
Right.
And I feel like maybe she would if it weren't for this guy.
Yeah,
like,
maybe. Maybe he's...
Remember they go into that room with all those knights?
Oh, and they're all dead.
So she's killed a lot of people.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, listen. Thousands of years being alive, you're going to kill somebody.
Okay.
anyways. I mean, what else? Anything else?
Not for me. So I'll just say, I mean, I liked it, but I wouldn't put it on my recommendations. I think the tonal shift hurt the movie for me. I kind of like things that are fun to kind of stay fun, and it didn't. And maybe that's on me, but that's what I prefer in the movies I watch. How about you?
I dismissed everything you just said because took my headphones off.
Oh, well, just pretend it was very profound and it amazed you. And
just kidding. I heard everything you said because we're sitting right next to each other. It's a fair critique, and I feel more strongly about the film than you do, so I will recommend it. It is not with, you know, having talked it out, it's not without its flaws. I still think it's probably one of the best animated films that I've seen in the past year.
I pulled up what was nominated. Okay. The winning movie was A Boy and Their Heron.
Well, that's a
Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Ghibli.
That was always going to win.
Movie Elemental, which I have not seen.
It's fine.
Robot Dreams.
Have not seen that.
And then my movie of the year, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Another good film.
Great film. It's, to me, the best animated film.
I mean, last year's, I haven't seen Boy and the Heron because it's just, I don't think, available anywhere to stream yet. But I've seen Elemental. I've seen Nimona, and I've seen Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and
which one wins the Oscar in your heart?
Nimona, I think.
Really? Put Nimona above Spider-Verse.
And
it's
your opinion? I've said this on
it's
the pod.
It's your opinion.
I've said this on the pod before. I thought Spider-Verse was too long. I thought it should have ended prior to it. It kind of kept going past certain parts where I thought it would have been applicable to end it.
So good.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. It still was a very good film.
So good.
And I'm very much looking forward to
the damn writer's strike, man.
Right. it's still coming out this year, right? Or is it next year?
I think it got pushed back.
That's unfortunate. Writers shouldn't go to a union.
Yeah, they should. But I think everyone should be in a union.
I recommend it. Jeff doesn't. That's fine. We watched it on Netflix.
We did. You can watch it on Netflix, and presumably it'll be there for all eternity.
For all of eternity.
All right, don't look at my screen.
I'm not looking at your screen.
He's going to try to look at my screen. So next month.
It's draft night, bitches.
It is draft night, bitches. And it is a 5-week month in May, which means we mutually decided on a film and then based the theme around it. However, the theme was so obvious, and it's a theme that I've been waiting on. Did I bring it up last week? I think I did.
Yes, you did.
That I've been wanting to do since we started the show.
I don't know if you can see he physically turned
his computer. I physically turned my computer because I don't trust him. Since the advent of our podcast, yep. I've been wanting to do a wrestling corner, a wrestling month.
Yep.
And we are here.
We're going to get a month of wrestling corner.
So, yeah. And I think, I don't know if we said, but it wasn't like, I don't want a movie that just stars Dave Bautista.
Right.
Right. I want a wrestling movie.
Oh, so that leads me to, I have to ask a question before we get into what we pick. Can the film be about the sport of wrestling?
What do you mean? Like amateur wrestling?
Yeah, like high school wrestling.
Hell
no. It has to be a movie about...
professional wrestling. I am not watching that damn movie again.
Foxcatcher?
Foxcatcher. No, don't pick amateur wrestling. God bless America. I thought that... This is the thing with Mark. You have to really be specific. You can't say Westerns. You have to be like, Westerns that are actually Westerns. Otherwise, he'll pick some banana bullshit. And here, wrestling,
I had a good moving pick.
What was it going to be?
It's called Waves. It's an A24 movie.
Oh, Fornication. Hell no.
It got really good reviews.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit.
All right.
You got to look up another one? Did you only pick two movies?
Yes, because I knew you were going to pick either one of those.
Well, were they both...
No, one of them is actually about the fake wrestling.
Fake, he says.
I should pick another fucking animated movie.
You know what I'd like? I'd like it if Stone Cold Steve Austin came in his room right now and stunned the shit out of you. I'd like it for two reasons. One, I'd get to meet Stone Cold.
He's old now.
He can still kick your ass.
He probably could.
Probably.
Yeah. Damn it.
Well, I guess I should go first.
You should go first then.
Well, I really only had two movies that I wanted to do. One of which I'll do later because it was the must have. If you want to pick Aronofsky's The Wrestler, I won't choke you out.
No, because I don't want to watch that.
Neither do I. It's a good movie, but so this movie, check this out, is directed by an Oscar winner.
Directed by an Oscar winner, okay. Scorsese.
Stars an Oscar winner.
Oh, stars an Oscar, okay.
They happen to be the same person.
Okay.
Okay. Guess the year it came out.
92.
78.
God damn it. What the fuck?
It stars and is directed by Sylvester Stallone. And it's called Paradise Alley. Three Italian-American brothers, I've never seen this, living in the slums of 1940s New York City, try to help each other with one's wrestling career, using one's brother's promotional skills and another brother's con artist tactics to thwart a sleazy manager.
Yeah. 78?
Yeah, this is like...
This will be the oldest film we've ever watched in the pod.
By 2 years.
God damn it.
This is this is the Rocky era. When did Rocky
come? I might hate you.
No, you'll like it. Have you seen Rocky? Rocky was 76.
So it's directed by who?
Sylvester Stallone.
And stars Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
All right.
Which I don't know. I guess he didn't win the Oscar for director because he didn't direct that, but he wrote it. Oh, he was nominated. I lied to you.
What?
I don't think Stallone...
He's not an Oscar winner.
I don't think Stallone is. I thought he won for Rocky.
No, he was nominated for a Creed movie, wasn't he?
I mean, probably.
I think he was nominated for best Supporting Actor.
All right, so what's your movie?
All right. I'm just going based on the IMDb...
So it's not a rest.
I'm going on based on
ruin
the,
this for
the
me.
IMDb synopsis.
You were going to ruin that's just I'm dawned not. On me. You were going to ruin this for me. You were going to pick some shoot wrestling.
No, all right. The synopsis is after and this film is from 2019, by the way.
Okay.
After running away from a residential nursing home to pursue his dream of becoming a pro wrestler.
Okay.
A man who has Down syndrome befriends an outlaw who becomes his coach and ally.
Damn, that sounds good.
Guess who the coach and ally is?
Steven Seagal.
Shia LaBeouf. We're watching The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, I knew that was coming too. I knew that was coming.
Listen, you put me on the spot, you get what you
No,
get.
That's fair. I'd rather watch this than some other shit.
Waves is probably the better movie, though.
I don't give a fuck. Because it's not actual wrestling.
Okay.
That's that fake shit that you like.
You're lucky I didn't pick Nacho Libre, all right?
I'm lucky you didn't? Fuck you, man. Nacho Libre is the shit. But.
Okay.
Time to ruin your whole fucking week, buddy.
Yep, let's go.
So this movie, this is going to be the most wrestling movie.
Yep. That's what you think.
Okay. Outdo me then. Okay. So this stars professional wrestler Bill Goldberg, professional wrestler Diamond Dallas Page, professional wrestler Sting. Okay. And there's a host of others. There's some more. It also stars former professional wrestling world heavyweight champion David Arquette. Do you know David Arquette won the world title? He did. He won it because of this movie. It also stars Oliver Platt and Sean.
What year is this from?
Scott Conn. It came out in the year 2000. So peak wrestling.
Okay.
Okay. Now, not peak WCW. So this movie was produced by WCW.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is called Ready to Rumble.
Okay.
And it is a comedy, and it's going to make you shit your pants.
I don't.
No, probably not. But
I don't want that.
I promise you. As well as the stars Martin Landau. I promise you, you are going to hate Ready to Rumble.
I might. I don't know. No. I've never seen it before, so I'll watch anything once.
There's zero chance of you liking this.
God. All right.
Makes me happy, though.
Yep. I'm just here to make you happy.
Thank you.
All right. So my second film this month, also from 2019. It's rated PG-13.
That's as far back as you go.
That's probably it. Stars Dwayne Johnson.
Okay.
Florence Pugh. Stephen Merchant. And I believe it was produced by WWE.
Oh, is this
Fighting with My Family?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's got good reviews.
It is about a wrestler named Paige.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's early. It's pre Florence Pugh, pre popular.
I didn't
Florence
know she
Pugh.
Was in it.
Yeah, she's one of the main actors. She's one of the.
I know Nick Frost is in it.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. I know who Nick Frost is.
Yeah.
It's also got Lena Headey in it. But yeah, Stephen Merchant. He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. I've never watched it because it looked kind of vanilla to me.
Oh, not a vanilla wrestling movie.
Yeah, just, I mean, if there is such a thing.
I don't know.
But it is wrestling. I'm actually kind of glad you picked it because I've never watched it. So let's run it back down. We got Paradise Alley from 1978, which is the new record for the pod.
Yep.
I'm going to try to creep us back into the 60s and 50s.
Okay.
Don't worry. It'll happen. Then we're going to watch Peanut Butter Falcon with Shia LaBeouf. So that's guaranteed to suck the big one. Then we're going to watch Ready to Rumble, which is guaranteed to make you weep, but not in a good way.
Happy or sad tears? I don't know.
You're not going to be happy. I kind of wish we were watching it together. And then we're going to watch Fighting with My Family. And then to end out the month, here inside the Draft House, we're going to watch a movie I've been wanting to watch for a long time. It is produced by the aforementioned A24, but once in a while, they put out a good one. We're going to watch The Iron Claw.
Starring your boy.
Draft House man crush, Zac Efron, as well as Jeremy Allen White, Harris Dickinson, Maura Turney, and then Holt McClaney.
So what I'm really looking forward to in this month is your knowledge of wrestling.
You're going to get all of it.
I know literally nothing about the family that's depicted in the Iron Claw.
Oh, prepare yourself for depression.
Right. I know nothing. I mean, I watched a little bit of wrestling when I was a kid just because it was back in the 90s, you know, so the height of popularity for wrestling. But I don't know a ton. Like, I grew up with The Rock and Stone Cold.
Here he comes. No. God, you saw a scaredy look. Stone Cold was going to stun the shit out of him.
But I mean, that's it. I don't have any knowledge before that. I don't have any current knowledge. So I'm looking forward to the kind of the history of these wrestling things.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Of course I am.
Of course you are. This is your theme. This is why the podcast was created.
After this, it's over, baby.
Again, we want to give a shout out to the music this month. Madeline, the New York based pop artist, with her song "I'm Only Here for the Beat." And so we should just let the cat out of the bag. Wrestling month is going to be our last musical artist of the month, and then we're gonna go to a set theme, like intro outro theme.
Yeah.
It's gonna be we're gonna let the algorithms do it for us, but
well, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. This may be short lived.
It's fine. But we Jeff has picked the music.
Listen, rest of the month is my month.
Right, correct.
And so actually what the story is with this music, I had started a brief wrestling podcast called the 10-Week Pro Wrestling Crash Course.
Yep.
And I had reached out to someone for some music.
Okay.
They're busy. You know, they actually do things as opposed to sit around the house like I do. And it took them a little while to get back to me, but I had already produced that podcast, but I said, is it okay if I use it in the future? And he said, totally. So, and it's going to fit the theme.
I'm looking forward to it because Jeff has never volunteered music before. So,
yeah, that's because it's a lot of work, and that's why you're not doing it anymore.
It is a lot of work. It has been a lot of work. It's
done a great job for as long as you have.
3 years.
Yeah, because this is June is our anniversary month, so we'll be drafting our themes. Yeah.
I have enjoyed it because it's turned me on to a lot of new artists that I'm still listening to today. That
I listen to the Schizophonics still. I listen to the guys that did Push, Equally Opposite still.
Yeah. Sophie Hunter.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, she like, but so like that it has allowed me to is introduce new music to me, and I'm grateful for that.
You know what I don't listen to anymore is the Kaza, the first band.
That's because they don't exist anymore. Yeah.
That's why I felt fine saying that.
Anyways, that's a story for another time. But so we're gonna have some set music starting in the month of June. Hit the subscribe button when it pops up on your screen so you don't miss any if you're watching on the YouTube. So you don't miss any future content here on our podcast. And if you want to follow the podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, we're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube, doing big things worldwide, as Pitbull would say. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, hey, man, we don't like movies from the 70s. You can find them at Podcast by Jeff.
Do it. I don't give a shit. But if you want to get in touch with Mark and offer up him some better night names, you can do so on Twitter at I Heard You Liked.
And also, please contact the FBI because Jeff called a child.
No, I did not. That is not a funny joke for you to say.
No.
Not okay. Don't do that.
I'll share the link in the
for the FBI.
www.fbi.com.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I know that I'm good.
Anyways, we'll catch you next week when we watch whatever the name of that Sylvester Stallone movie was.
What the hell was it? Paradise Alley, 1978. I could touch the sky from the